Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, the voice of the people, the voice of the MFFLs, Martin.
No, that's not true. Hi, guys. Just stop.
I've had multiple people tell me on Twitter that you are the voice of the fans.
Okay, three people or two people does not count.
With capital letters in title case, that is your title now.
Let's move on.
I'm starting to get worried that people actually like you more than they like me.
Yeah, if that were the case, then people would invite me on their podcast and not just you.
Well, maybe they just don't know you're available.
Oh. Okay.
Anyways, we'll move on. We're on the internet at DallasHoopsCast.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating would be very much appreciated. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and join the conversation in the comments. In fact, leave a comment with a question that you want us to answer in the next episode, and we'll do a whole segment with listener questions. Let's get started by talking about the Bulls game tonight, and then we'll talk about this entire past week of games, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and do a couple of other fun segments. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor for this show. I'm not sure who that is.
I was like, sponsor?
Have a sponsor.
HP. Let's just do that one.
No,
just
I'm going to say Rosa's.
Okay, Rosa's.
Rosa's Tortilla Factory. I feel like they deserve a shout out.
Thank you, Rosa's, for caring about quality.
Yeah, having the best tamales and the best flour tortillas. If you're hungry and it's lunch or dinner time or breakfast, they have really good breakfast tacos.
For a free ad, we're kind of pushing it here. So let's move on.
Thank you, Rosa's Tortilla Factory, for having awesome food. Okay, so we'll start by talking about the Bulls game. And like, I'm going to be honest, from my point of view, without Luka and Kristaps, I feel like how much of this can we actually analyze? But I mean, there were some frustrating things.
Well, I mean, you're right. It was Texas Legends versus Chicago Bulls tonight. Yeah. But
it's still their roster. Like, we can still evaluate the players.
You're still seeing some of the same recurring themes, even when Luka was playing. The rebounding problem is a problem.
It's a problem.
They have a big problem in their bigs. That's
They have a big problem.
Yes. They have they don't have very good backup bigs. Mm-hmm. And especially with Porzingis projected to be out a couple more weeks, that's going to be pretty difficult to watch as far as the rebounding and the size. Yeah, so that I'd like to see them make some kind of move to bring in a quality backup center, because if Porzingis is going to miss time due to rest or maybe have some nagging injuries here and there, I would like for them to have somebody that you can feel reliable or is reliable and have them come off the bench, because what you saw against the Bulls without Porzingis, well, really all season, without Porzingis, they're just crap on the rebounds.
Yeah, it's, and again, I think that's worth saying that, like, the whole rebounding problem, I think with Porzingis being out, like, yeah, it is going to be a huge problem. And so when he comes back, I think it is not as big of a problem. Mm-hmm. Also, Luka was out and he averages like 9 rebounds a game. You know, but the fact still remains that everyone outside of those two are not good rebounders.
You know, the rebounding,
at all.
You remember, was a problem last year. True. Remember, there were those moments in the game where we were like, why isn't Boban out there for that
there
one?
Was those
times. So they lack rebounding. And I think a lot of it's because they play a small at the four, but rebounding's a problem.
And I just, I think I've said this before. I don't know how you can say that defense and rebounding are a focus and then start Dorian and Powell at the 4 and the 5.
Yeah.
It's just those two things aren't compatible to me. They don't fit. And I get it that, Kristaps is out. This isn't their final starting lineup, so maybe there's that. But it's just in the meantime, I don't know. It just doesn't seem compatible to me. And then especially tonight, they started out with Tim Hardaway guarding Zach
That
Levine
was really strange.
Instead of Dorian or Josh Richardson or literally anybody else, that I was like, okay, defense is a focus. Like, what?
That I don't understand that decision whatsoever, where the guy you started on Zach LaVine is literally your worst wing defender.
And you saw the results.
And so now you have Tim Hardaway, your worst wing defender, and no center in the game.
Yeah.
And what do you think was going to happen? He was going to have a huge night. Every time he went into the lane, there was zero resistance. I didn't understand that decision whatsoever.
Yeah, like every shot was at the rim and he made every shot.
And he was 6 of 7 and or something to start the game.
And that's because Hardaway can't keep him in front of him and then Powell doesn't offer any resistance. So it was like you might as well just pave a runway to the lane.
I thought that was a very strange. And then after he was hot, you put Dorian and Josh Richardson on him.
They did eventually switch.
But by that point, and you know what? He didn't shoot very well. He went like 5 of 13.
Yeah.
It was like, why didn't you just start out that way? What in the world were you thinking?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's trying to purposely sabotage Tim Hardaway to prove to Tim Hardaway, hey, you got to start coming off the bench. Yeah. That was a strange move. I also didn't like the fourth quarter when the Mavericks were coming. The lineup I really liked in the game was in the fourth quarter. It was Brunson, Richardson, Dorian, James Johnson, and Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, Cauley-Stein struggled again, and look,
he fouled out. Well, Willie Cauley-Stein isn't very good.
But that lineup was really long and had really good defenders, mm-hmm. and as you watched it, they were switching every time, and the Bulls couldn't get any opening. Yeah. And the Mavericks started making a comeback. They made it a close game. I wanted to ride that lineup out, but he decided to bring in Tim Hardaway Jr., who's been killing them, the Mavs, not the Bulls. And he came back in. The Bulls go on a scoring run, and the Mavs can't score anything.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. had a really bad game.
2 of 12.
And, you know, part of me is like, I get it. He is your third leading scorer, and you would think, you know, we need to score some buckets now. Let's put Hardaway back in. But he had a really bad game. He was 4 for 15 overall, mm-hmm. 2 for 12 on threes. He just didn't have it.
Well, and the thing is that lineup was making the run.
Yeah.
And I thought usually you would kind of ride that lineup up or out until they're no longer making the run, and then you can bring back in, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. But Tim Hardaway was just not very good.
He was like old Tim YOLO Hardaway Jr.
Well, he was last year early season Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, taking bad shots, bad threes. 12 threes is a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't even think Luka takes 12 threes on a bad night. It was a lot of bad shots and just not making smart plays, offensively or defensively.
It was a tough loss. I mean, look, again, you're out Luka and you're out Porzingis. So, you know, what are you...
I expect a loss.
Yes, but you saw some of the same concerns.
Yeah.
The lack of talent from the rest of the roster that the Mavericks have right now. Their lineup switches right now. They're just not working. The starting lineup, again, we start off the game with 4 points in like the first 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's with Jaylen, you know. So there's something not working there with that starting lineup.
Yeah. Brunson, he had 31 points, 11 for 17, which, I mean, that's good. He's been in a really bad slump. So if he can break out of it, then that helps the Mavs. Willie Cauley-Stein, I know that a lot of fans really like Willie Cauley-Stein and want him to start, but I just don't think he's very good. And I think tonight, he played 12 minutes, I guess, but I didn't really see anything out of them where I was like, start him!
I want to think that he's good.
Yeah.
And I want to think that he's better than Dwight Powell. And it's sad, but he might not be.
I don't think he is.
Either way, Maxey is clearly better than both of them.
Yeah.
And again, Maxey, 2 games in a row, is the center that's closing the game. Why don't you just start him? And
I don't know.
If Dwight Powell is so bad you can't bring him off the bench or start him, like, I understand you need to have some kind of punch coming off of your bench. But the starting lineup is so bad right now that I feel like you got to fix that problem first, and then you can start worrying about the bench.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'll play the devil's advocate. Like, Dwight Powell, maybe Carlisle wants that what he adds offensively, he wants to be able to start the game with that offensive punch.
He's not adding anything offensively.
True. Okay, so there's that. That's a good counterpoint. Another option would be when Kristaps comes back, Powell is going to go to the bench. And Powell maybe is most like Kristaps in terms of play style. And so he just wants something in there to help players get
into
that rhythm.
Powell is nothing like... If anybody is like Kristaps, it's Maxey.
That's true. Good counterpoint. Okay, so third option. I had a third point, but I can't remember what it was. I mean,
I just don't look. I understand.
Yeah. Or maybe Carlisle was just thinking like, "Ah, screw it." Without Kristaps,
start Maxi. Yeah, that's your best option.
Maybe.
Like I don't understand.
Okay, so maybe he wants Maxi coming off the bench even when Kristaps comes back. So he's like, "Well, let me let the bench get their rhythm together."
I understand that as well, but your starting lineup is trash right now. It's not working.
Yeah, true.
It's just you got to fix. You're losing games because you can't score the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, but that's Carlisle. He's always willing to try a million different things, even if it means losing.
It's like I said, he spends the first 10 games just collecting data.
Yeah.
And then he'll go into what kind of rotations he actually wants to do. Mm-hmm. I hate sacrificing games for that data collection. It's just not working with Dwight Powell.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy had four points and four rebounds on a really small team. The Bulls are, it's not like the Bulls were going out there with Marc Gasol and Anthony Davis. You know, Wendell Carter Jr., I think he's like 6'3 playing their center.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not actually 6'3, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I thought I also saw some bad body language from Dwight Powell. Like, he was starting to get frustrated with.
He's struggling.
He's struggling. He's not very good defensively. And when you start, you're playing against, you know, the other team's best players. And so if you struggle defensively, and especially at the center position, it's hard to hide that guy. Like, wings and guards, you can move them around and shuffle them. But a center, he's there. Like, he's in the paint. And he's just not a very good defender. And I feel tonight I kind of saw a little more frustration out of him.
And an Achilles injury is a serious injury. Yeah. And it does affect guys that are on Powell's level. Like, if you look in the history of people that had Achilles injury, if they weren't very good to begin with, they're done after it.
Yeah.
They just never become the same player. Mm-hmm. Whereas someone like Kevin Durant, who's got that mindset that, you know, it's just different for those kind of players. And you can see, obviously, Durant is looking like normal. But Dwight, it's just not working. Maxi, I don't know. Look, I don't know what Carlisle's going to do. And I don't know what the Mavericks are going to do, but they just lack talent. And I know Derek Harper will just talk about how he loves the depth on this team. And it's like, and he's like, I wonder how many teams are lining up because they want Jalen Brunson. Nobody lining up to get Jalen Brunson.
You know, I do appreciate Brunson putting on a show and upping his trade value when playing against the Bulls, who I want to do a trade with.
Yeah.
Because I want Zach LaVine. I don't care what anyone else says. I like him. I mean, the dude, he's efficient. Like, he's 14 for 25. I'm not good at math, so I don't know what that percentage is, but it's good.
To me, you put... it's over 50%.
Yeah.
It's like maybe 60%. But you put Luka and LaVine at your two guards. Worry about the other wings and defense later.
No, I mean, now you
have two guys that just can put a bucket... Anytime during the game, yes.
And like, maybe the Mavs don't have the pieces for that, which is why I appreciate Brunson putting on a show, taking one for the team. Also, another thing, the Bulls just made like everything tonight. I mean, freaking Colby White was 7 for 14. And who was the guy that's like 50% on free throws and
Gafford.
He was 5 for 5 or something?
Yeah, 6 for 6. 6
for 6?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they made everything.
You know what, though? It's like... That's just an excuse, you know, like...
Maybe, but I mean, it was the same thing against the Hornets.
Exactly,
they just made everything. Anyways, so yeah, I mean, I know, like, I didn't expect to win without Luka and Porzingis. And I know when they come back, the overall result is different. But I think you can still evaluate the players that played. And we saw a lot of the same trends that we've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on the game before we...
The Bulls game?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Share your thoughts in the comments section or on Twitter. Let's move on now to just a look at this week as a whole, and we'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So they played three games this week. They lost to the Hornets, they won against the Heat, and they lost to the Bulls tonight with no Luka. The good, I think that the defense has been great for stretches. It's not always consistent, which we'll get to, but entering this Bulls game, they were sixth in defensive rating. And so despite all their weaknesses, they have had moments where they've played very good defense.
I would say that is true.
It is true. Moving on.
Okay. So. I would say we need more games because part of that sixth in defensive rating is that Clipper game, which can we just admit...
It counts.
The Clippers did not show up.
Let me tell you. Okay. Of the 37 teams that have had a 50-plus point blowout, two of them, I believe, won the championship.
So the percentages are on the Mavs side. Is what you're saying.
Possible.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Now, like 30% of those teams didn't make the playoffs also, but two of them won the championship.
So what you're saying is that stat means nothing.
So
my point about the defense was you had that blowout with the Clippers. The Clippers clearly didn't show up.
Yeah.
And then you had really good defense against the Heat, but I don't know. I guess I don't believe it. Because I've also seen games like the...
There was good defense in this game.
There were good stretches, but there were also some atrocious stretches. And then that Hornets game, and then that Lakers game, 138 points.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and...
God, I forgot about that completely.
Yeah. And so that's like, I don't believe that number yet. Let's wait until we get more games under our belt before we see how good their defense really is.
So I'm going to... And let's move on. So the good was... The defense has been very good in stretches. The bad is that it's inconsistent, which is what you're saying. And I would attribute that to their personnel. They have some guys that are pretty good to really good defenders. Josh Richardson, Dorian, Maxey, James Johnson. Like they have these guys that are good defenders, but they have guys that are on the other end of the spectrum. Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell. And so I think that leads to this inconsistent defense, depending on what kind of team you're playing, how that team scores. Some nights it's going to be really good, and some nights it's going to be really bad.
Well, I guess it depends on the matchup. But for me, if I'm an opposing team and I see the bigs that the Mavs are rolling out there are Dorian and Dwight Powell, I'm going to do what Zach LaVine did.
And just go
to the basket every single time because there's no resistance whatsoever at the rim. And so, you know, I guess depending on the matchup is going to determine how good or bad their defense is. But Tim Hardaway, he had one, I don't remember the specifics. I just remember him kind of just brain freeze and allowed a backdoor cut in a very important possession, and Otto Porter got away. I was like, dude, what are you doing? You got one job, and you're not even looking at him.
Yeah, he's not a good defender.
No,
like
he's
at
not.
All. There is no redeeming factor for him on defense. Like,
and this idea and putting him on Zach LaVine.
I don't understand. Yeah,
I don't want to go back to that, but
yeah, still.
Yeah. So the bad is their inconsistency with defense right now.
But I think that there's an opportunity there to evaluate your roster. And so that you can see your guys that are good defenders, you know, the Josh Richardsons, the Dorian Finney-Smith, whether he starts or not, just, you know, the fact he's on your roster, he's a good defender. And then you can see the difference between those guys and Tim Hardaway Jr. Whereas last year, maybe we didn't have that comparison on the team. And now you're able to evaluate those players and think, okay, maybe we just don't have the personnel to be a top 10 or 5 defense.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to make a move at the trade deadline this year.
Which is just eventually, if they want to be a very good defensive team.
The free agent class this year sucks. So there's no need to go into this year.
What are you talking about? Kawhi Leonard is going to be a free agent.
The Mavs are going to get him, right?
Well, they're getting a meeting, at least.
There's nobody in free agency.
Yeah.
So there's no need to keep all of this salary cap space going into free agency. Use these expiring
pieces,
contracts
and
try to swing a Porzingis-type deal. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know who's out there, but something. Bring somebody else in that can play defense and can make a shot on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the bottom line is that, again, you're able to see, okay, this guy is really not a good defender. Does he add anything else that redeems him? If we want to be a top 10 defense, what do we need to do? Like, I think
you're going to have to sacrifice
able to see
offense
that. Yeah,
a
like
bit.
Like this year, you're really able to see that, you know, who you have on your roster. And I think, like you've said in the past, I agree. I just don't think they have the personnel to be a top 10 or 5 defense. And that's, you know, it is what it is. They're trying. I know Carlisle has made it a focus, but I don't think they have the players for it yet.
And what sucks is, if we're ever going to get into the ugly, is it's sacrificing on their offense.
Yeah, so, okay, we'll move on to the ugly. The ugly is
their offense. it's atrocious. Like, they can't shoot, and they have shooters out there, but, like, Hardaway is just... did not start the year very well.
He's been inconsistent.
Dorian can't seem to hit one when somebody's closing out.
Yeah, he has struggled.
Like, if he's wide open and nobody closes out, he's a really good shooter. But when he has to rush it just a tiny, tiny bit, he can't make it. And no one else can make a shot. Josh Richardson is not a very good offensive player. But, you know, make a shot. Yeah. A wide open shot, I feel like, should be everybody's game on the starting lineup.
As an NBA player.
Yeah, as an NBA player.
Can you score?
Their offense has just been terrible. And if they're going to be a terrible offensive team and a mediocre defensive team,
it's not a good.
They're not going to be a very good team.
Yeah, entering the Bulls game, they were 17th in offensive rating. Now, you made a point while we were talking earlier that it looks like they're really just focused on defense only. And they're not really concerned about the offense. And so it's struggling because they're just not really working on it right now. They really want to improve their defense, which I think is possible. I think even Carlisle said they spent the past two practices only doing defense. They didn't even work on offense. And I think a lot of times when we see their poor offense, it's because, I've said this before, there's not a lot of player movement. They kind of all stand around on their shooting spots, and they wait for Luka to make a play.
There's not very good chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, on-court chemistry. And the Richardson-Hardaway chemistry isn't quite working. And I think it's probably because both of them are two guards, and neither one of them is a three.
I agree.
And one of them is being asked to play the three, and it makes a difference. I don't care what anybody says. It's possessionless basketball. It's not really. I mean, there's still positions out there.
Yeah.
And Hardaway and Richardson both have the skills for a prototypical two guard. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them have what you're looking for in a prototypical three guard. And so they're just lacking chemistry.
Yeah, I think, like, the positionless thing, there are still positions. They just perform differently than they used to. Mm-hmm. Like, a power forward now is not like a power forward from the 90s. But
he's still big.
But they are all still the same. Like, all power forwards are all the same now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just different than it used to be. But this is the new power forward. You know?
I think they're not 7 foot tall like they used to be.
Yeah.
But they're 6'10".
And they're all like
they're
that.
Not 6'7", like the Mavericks are thinking that the league has turned into. They're all about, the good ones are 6'10", or up. And they can guard wings, but they can also play big and defend the rim as a secondary help defender. And, you know, so I don't know. It's,
you know,
they have no chemistry.
I had a thought today.
Okay.
So last year was really fun because they were good for the first time in like a long time. And it was more than just being good. You could see the future in that team, in some of those guys. And so we felt like, man, this is a really big step forward. But this year, it's not about having fun. It's about becoming a good team. And so it's more about working on defense and working out these kinks. And so it's kind of like two steps forward and one step back. Like, this year, they're actually going through growing pains because they're actually growing. Like, they're actually working on things. And some of their guys are not good at those things that they're working on. But they have to go through this in order to become a good team.
You know, all that is great.
Did I sound like Donnie Nelson just then?
You're trying to sell us on the team.
Losing is learning.
Yes. No. The way you play good defense is by having good players.
Yes.
The way you play good offense is by having good players. You can have the greatest scheme in the world, and you can be really good at offense, but you got to have players.
You
got
to
have good players
that
understand
execute.
It. Like, Tim Hardaway tries really hard on defense.
Oh, yeah. He's
just
in a stance.
He just doesn't know where he is. Yeah. You know, he's like, am I at a three? Is it time for me to shoot? You know, so it's like he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so you need good players to be good at basketball. And they just don't have a lot of good players. Now, like I said, I don't know if I said this on this pod or it's just you and I talking. Carlisle is such a good coach that he puts these players in these positions where they look good on paper, like analytically, like, wow, the Mavs are the number one offense in the league. When Dwight Powell's out there, he's the number one offensive rated player. He fools himself.
He tricks himself.
Yeah, and he tells Donnie, hey, no.
He believes his own lie.
I don't need DeAndre, Jordan.
Anybody.
I don't need anybody. I have Dwight Powell at center. And offensively, so he tricks himself to thinking that these guys are actually good, and they're not. It's like, if you put good players in his system,
they win a championship.
Thank you.
Oh, like, so halfway good players.
Yes, a halfway good. Deshaun Stevenson was a lockdown defender, and he was a critical piece of a championship.
The 2011 Mavs didn't even have another all-star.
Right.
And they won a championship. Now, granted, Dirk was freaking...
Yes, but the point is, like, give him good players and they're a championship team, but it's like, they have... He's so good at putting these players in positions for them to be successful, and their numbers look good, and he revigorates their career, and everybody's like, hey, go to Dallas if you want to extend your career.
Which is true.
Except none of them are actually any good.
Yeah.
And so they don't sign anybody else.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's kind of, you know, back to what I was saying, is that I think right now, because they're putting such a focus on defense, they're actually able to see who can do this and who can't. Whereas before, when you're not even trying, like, you don't know. Like,
so maybe you got about three guys that can play
that
defense.
Are NBA players.
Four guys, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, I think, to me, I've seen the defense that they are trying, and there's been good stretches, but it's just not consistent enough. And then I don't think they have the personnel to be consistent at it.
I mean, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
They look terrible. Right
sometimes.
Now, to start this season, they're 2-4.
You know, that's...
They're
that's...
2-4. I know it's early, but like, how many under 500 games are we going to get to where
before
we're like, okay,
like, when should we start
this isn't
worrying.
Working. Yes. Yeah. And I know Carlisle, again, we talk about this all the time. The first 10 games of the season, he doesn't care about him.
Yeah.
He's going to sacrifice wins and losses to get the lineups right. But they're 2-4, and they don't even look that good.
I'd say I'm going to evaluate the players, like, in terms of the entire team. Until Kristaps comes back, I don't know. But, I mean, I think we've seen some clear things from the guys that are playing to tell us what they are like individually, at least. Was that passive-aggressive enough?
I think so.
Was that on-brand?
Yeah, I think it was.
I feel like that was a really on-brand statement.
You say it as if somehow you're going to get in the locker room and do an interview and you don't want the Mavs to block you.
I just want everyone to like me.
Okay.
So I have to say it in a way to where no one really knows how I feel. Whereas you just kind of like, whatever, everyone sucks.
Pretty much.
I don't have the confidence to say that. Okay. Those are our takes on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Any further thoughts on that?
Mavs
I
want to
cut you off. Okay. Thank you. So let's move on. We have... Okay, so you mentioned how it's early in the season, and so there are some early trends that, you know, they could keep going, they could not keep going, but I want to go through them, play a game of buy or sell early season trends. And again, this is all before the Bulls game, because obviously that data hasn't been updated yet. Okay, so I'm going to say the early season trend, and then you say buy or sell. That's how it works. Okay.
So... You just say something.
I just say something.
And then I say,
buy
or sell it.
Buy means that you think it's going to continue, and sell means I don't want that.
I think I got it.
You got it. Okay. First, Luka is shooting 16% from the three-point line.
Sell.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to be 40%. Yeah. He's going to be around the 30% again.
Like he was last year.
Yeah. But he's not this bad.
Yeah. I agree with that. Okay. James Johnson is shooting 43% from the three-point line.
Sell.
Okay, he was 0 for 2 tonight, so that would drop a little bit. But I think I would agree.
I'll say this about James Johnson. When he misses, it's not a normal miss.
He misses.
It's like he got hit upside his head while he was shooting it and doesn't know what direction he's facing.
But did it actually...
Yes, he didn't. Yeah. But it's just the way the ball goes in the air.
His brain.
When he makes it, it's nice.
Yeah.
But he's never just had a regular miss where it kind of bounced off. It's like a clunk.
Yeah.
Bounce off the backboard over to half court.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sell that 3-point shooting.
Yeah, his 3-point shooting percentage throughout his career has been a little inconsistent. He's had some seasons where he's been a decent shooter and then some where he wasn't. Either way, I don't think 43% is going to continue. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Mavericks, we talked about this earlier, the Mavs are 17th in offensive rating and 6th in defensive rating. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that.
Both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think they're this... Look, I know I'm not very high on the Mavs right now. I don't think they're this bad of a team. I do think eventually they will get things going. They'll go on a nice little run and get their record up. But it's going to be primarily... because their offense gets going.
And Kristaps comes back.
And Kristaps comes back. And so their offense gets going. I don't think they're that... They're not top 10 defensively right now in this league this year. Yeah. Right now they are, but I'm talking about as the season progresses.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it too. I mean, I think they might finish 12th in defensive rating.
Yeah, which would be a step ahead.
Yeah, and I think their offensive rating will be top 10.
I think it'll end up being number one again.
Oh, okay.
Eventually. I mean, Luka and Porzingis are just too good offensively.
Yeah, true.
On the offensive side of the court and the system that the Mavs run. That's why I think Carlisle he's not focusing on offense right now.
Well, why would you? I mean,
you know.
Your second best player is out.
Yeah. So I think they'll be fine offensively.
Okay, next. The Mavericks have only 3 players averaging double digits per game. Just for reference, most teams that I looked at, they had like 5 players averaging double digits.
Well, it's hard to say again because Porzingis is out. So we can safely assume that Porzingis comes back,
true.
They would have 4.
That would be 4.
But I'm going to buy that because, like I've said all along, they're just not a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're just not a very good roster.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And they did not improve at all. From last year to this year. In fact, offensively, they lost a double-digit scorer in Seth Curry.
Yeah. I think Richardson is obviously a major upgrade from Seth in terms of defense, but Seth would be a major upgrade in terms of offense, so it's kind of a wash.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I think I'm going to buy it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Josh Richardson has the second worst defensive rating on the team. Which is surprising because I think he's the second best, or maybe the best defender on the team.
I'm going to sell that because the defensive rating, I don't know. For me, a lot of that is who are you guarding?
Mm-hmm.
If Josh Richardson was guarding the worst player, like Luka guards, I bet Luka's defensive rating is higher than Josh Richardson's.
Well, it is because Josh Richardson's second worst. Oh,
yeah.
Who's the worst?
So Luka has a better defensive rating than Josh Richardson.
That's your guess.
I'm guessing that.
Okay.
Okay. And that's because Luka's always guarding the worst offensive player for the other team, whereas Josh Richardson is always getting the tough assignment.
Yeah.
And so for me, you got to take that with a grain of salt. Of course, that could be a complete lack of understanding of what defensive rating means, but I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for.
I thought that sounded great.
Okay. Well, good. We'll keep it.
I thought that was a really good answer.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because when you watch him, he clearly is making defensive plays.
Yeah.
He is up in you. He has really good hands. He has really good recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So he's clearly a good defender, but he's also guarding
the
top 10 offensive players in the league.
So do you think that his defensive rating will go up or down? Up or stay the same?
I think it will probably stay the same, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, next. Luka is leading the team in rebounds per game, and it's not even close. He's averaging 7.6 per game. Second is Maxi, who plays 22 minutes per game and doesn't even start, and he averages 4.6 rebounds per game.
So, well, that's the answer as to why you're not a very good rebounding team. I mean, I'm going to sell it because Porzingis is ultimately going to lead the team in rebounds.
Yeah, true.
But it's pretty pathetic that the next leading rebounder on your team is not even your starting center at 4. Like, your starting center can't even average more than 4.
Yeah, 4.6.
Oh, 4.6, nearly 5. And yeah. So that's why you can't get a defensive rebound when you need it.
I think you're right. I'm going to sell it because when Kristaps comes back, but I mean, I'm buying it.
He could easily
idea of what it means.
Yeah, he could easily average 10 and average more than Porzingis.
Next, Maxey is shooting 45% overall and 47% on three-pointers. Mm-hmm. Tonight, he was 3-for-6 on three-pointers, so his shooting percentage even went up on that. But 45 overall and 47 on three-pointers.
I'm going to buy it. I don't think he'll shoot 47, but I think he'll be in the 40s, especially because we want to make sure we don't start him.
Yeah. I think that, like, all of his shots have been
wide open three. Well, three I think it's a two that we're not. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to buy it that he's going to have a solid season because he did last year, except for the bubble. I mean, obviously, 47%, probably not going to continue, but so far it is. Next, Luka is shooting 65% on shots at the rim within 3 feet compared to 75% last season.
Yeah, I'm going to sell that as well. I think he'll go back up to near 70% or 75% like he did last year. Couple of things. Porzingis, again, isn't there. He is a huge floor spacer to open up the lane for the Mavs, especially when we're playing Dwight Powell, where he doesn't create any space whatsoever.
That pump fake, though.
Yes, that pump fake on another level. Like, he goes all the way up.
Yeah.
It's not telegraphed at all.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. So I think he'll get that back, and once he gets his game legs, also known as gets in shape, basketball shape.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying he's overweight. I wish I looked like Luka. If Luka's okay.
Oh God. Sometimes I'm watching the Mavs.
Shut up. Okay, I know where you're going with this.
When did you get picked?
Okay. I'm not going to allow you to embarrass me that way.
That's not embarrassing.
It's incredibly embarrassing.
The people listening don't know that you look like Luka.
Because I don't.
Well, you know, that's your opinion, but we'll move on.
Yeah, please.
Lastly, the Mavericks are in the bottom 10 in the NBA in opponent second chance points, meaning that they allow the 10th in the bottom 10 of allowed second chance
points. I'm going to buy that. Because they struggled last year at times to get the needed defensive rebound, even when Porzingis was playing.
Because I was going to say, we talked about this. This is directly from rebounding. And I think when Kristaps comes back, their rebounding will be better, in which case their second chance points allowed will be better. But maybe you're right.
All right, move on.
Well, that was the last one of buy or sell early season trends. A lot of things that, you know, it is early, but I think there are some trends that are more attributed to actual player skill level or talent level or roster, whatever it is, that I could see it continuing. All right, let's move on to, this is a fun game.
Oh, yes.
I always like when we do this game.
Okay.
Real or fake League Leaders Edition.
Okay.
So
never heard of this game.
We've played it before.
You're going to say a stat, and I'm going to say it's real or fake?
Yeah. And then I'm going to laugh at you because you're going to be wrong.
Okay, perfect.
It's going to be either the...
Now, real means real and fake means fake. I just want to make sure I understand the game.
Real as in like it's actually happening.
Okay, I got you.
And then fake as in it's not happening.
I'm ready to go.
It's going to be either the team or just a player is like leading or... You know.
Okay, is there a backstory to this before we get into it? Okay, let's go.
Okay, so first, the Maverick, again, this is like...
Oh my God, just go.
Before the Bulls game.
Okay, before the Bulls game, okay.
The Mavericks are 10th in pick and roll points per possession for the ball handler. I know, I don't actually know what that means. I think it means the ball handler, if he is scoring or takes a shot in the pick and roll... They are 10th in points per possession.
I'm going to buy that. I think they're... not buy that. That is real. But I think it will not stay that way. I think part of it why they're not like top 5 or top 3 in the league is because Luke is not finishing at the same rate at the rim and because Dwight Powell sucks.
This isn't buy or sell. So you don't have to...
I said
to,
it's real.
Yeah, but you did the buy or sell thing. You don't have to
do
that.
Okay, I'm going to... It's real. Okay. And so because it's real, I want to buy it for my personal...
Just because.
Yes, because I bought it.
Okay. It's not for sale though. So, okay. Anyways, you're wrong because they're seventh in pick and roll points per possession for the ball handler.
How am I supposed to know if it's right on the money or not? Like, can you give me like within a 5 point, you know, like, can you say the Mavericks are top 10
I'm
in the league?
I'm not going to dumb it down for you. Okay.
Well, I have to guess off the top of my head the exact number.
Yeah, that's the game.
Okay. Well, then move on.
They score 0.96 points per possession for the ball handler in a pick and roll. Interesting. Next. The Mavericks are 23rd. It's so specific.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're not top 25.
They're 23rd in catch and shoot field goal percentage.
Fake. They're 25th.
No, it's true.
Oh, man.
They shoot 33.3% on catch and shoot shots.
I'm surprised they're that high.
Yeah. So in comparison, the Bucks are first. They shoot 46%. So the Mavs are 23rd.
So you're telling me the Bucks got actual basketball players?
Yeah.
And because of that,
they're good.
They can actually make shots on a consistent basis? Who would have thought?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they paid these guys?
They did.
They paid them more than 1 year?
In fact, they even made a trade this offseason.
Oh my God.
To get better.
But what about their salary cap space?
I don't know because, well, they re-signed Giannis. So, I mean, you know, the Mavs
But Chris Middleton's not on an expiring deal. Neither is Drew Holiday.
No, no.
They're actually signed long-term.
They signed long-term.
Oh, my God.
Actually, you know what? I think Drew Holiday has a player option.
And that's, I understand it now.
That explains it. So, yeah, 23rd, there's only seven teams that are worse than them in catch. And we've seen that. Like, Luka could average double digits if guys would just make these freaking shots.
Yeah.
Double-digit assists.
Yeah.
If guys would just make these freaking shots. Okay.
All right, let's get to the next one I'm going to get wrong.
The Mavericks are sixth in steals per game at 9.6 per game.
I'm going to say real.
Yes, it is. They 9.6 per game is a 56% increase from last year.
I said that's one of the only bright spots I've noticed this year is because, well, one, James Johnson and Josh Richardson. Again, it's not all about that defensive rating. Like, he makes defensive plays, and so does James Johnson.
Yeah, that's one thing that's been fun to watch is, like, their defense is good in stretches, but they also make fun plays on defense. Mm-hmm. And not that they're gambling for steals. I'm not saying I want
It's just good position, good hands.
Just good on-ball defense, and they force turnovers, and that's just, it's awesome to see. All right, next. The Mavericks are 15th in rebound percentage.
Selling that. They got to be dead
this
last.
This isn't buy or sell.
I mean, that is fake. And because it's fake, I want to sell my own personal stock in it. Because they're not that good.
You're right. It is false. They're not dead last. They're 25th in rebound percentage. Meaning, so they
suck.
Of the rebounds that are available to them... They don't care.
Yeah. They just know they suck.
The percentage that they grab, they are 25th in the league. So, yeah.
So, they're like looking at the ball. And then because they have pterodactyl the other team arms, gets they can't grab it.
Okay. Next. What? That was my pterodactyl sound.
Yeah.
Okay. Maxi is top 10 in three-point percentage. Well, you know this. At 47.4%.
Top 10. See, this I can do. That is real, and I'm buying it. It better be real. That is fake.
It's false.
You mean fake?
It's fake. Yeah. So, I mean, he is shooting 47.4%.
But that's not top 10?
But among players that have played at least two games and shoot at least 2 3-pointers per game, I mean, just to get into a field of actual players, he is 68th in three-point percentage.
All right. Well, what a dumb stat. Move on to the next one.
Wow. Just because you're wrong doesn't mean it's dumb. All right. Willie Cauley-Stein is 7th in offensive rating. That's in the league, 7th in offensive rating.
For some stupid reason, I'm going to say that is real.
It is real.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised Carlisle doesn't play him 48 minutes a night.
No, okay.
Those advanced numbers.
To be fair, that's with, like, no parameters in terms of, like, minutes played, games played. So it could be... players that played like a minute.
Yeah, like Boban led the league last year, but he didn't qualify.
But among like every single player, he is 7th in offensive rating entering this game.
Yep.
All right, next. James Johnson is top 10 in defensive rating.
on the team?
In the league.
In the league. Mm-hmm. I don't... True. Real. Buying it.
It's not buy or sell. Okay, so technically no, if you just take all players, but if you limit it to players that actually play, they play at least 15 minutes per game.
This isn't fair. Like, one stat you decide to make you're it a qualifying. Wrong. The other one you're like, nah, it's, you know, how am I supposed to win with that?
Okay, so, but yeah, so among players that play at least 15 minutes per game, he's seventh in the league in defensive mm-hmm. rating.
Well, I'm glad we only play him about 10 minutes a night and don't start him at power forward, even though that's his natural position. But, he you know, averages, what do I know?
I think he averages like 15 and a half minutes or something. That's why mm-hmm. I put it at 15 minutes. But yeah, I thought that was impressive. Okay. Luka has the highest usage percentage in the league.
I don't. I'm going to say that's false, fake news, and I'm selling it.
You're wrong. It's true.
But what are the parameters?
That's just
did like, you eliminate all the other players in the league?
Well, I don't remember.
Okay. You probably eliminated all of them, and the only player left was Luka.
I think it was just overall. Like, he has the highest usage percentage.
I thought it might have been Trae Young because of the way he started the season. But
he might be top 10. I don't know. Mm-hmm. James Harden is second, and Bradley Beal is third. Hmm. So, and this is from yesterday, so I don't know. Games have been played since then. So you got that wrong, right?
Yep.
Okay. Next. Luka leads the league in percent of field goals unassisted. So the percent of his field goals unassisted.
Has he gotten a basket off of an assist from one of his teammates? I can't remember one of them this year. So I'm going to say that is true. I am buying it, and it is real.
It's fake.
News.
He's fourth among players who have played at least three games.
Yeah. So again, you decide when you want to bring in the parameters here.
Well, I have to like...
Yeah, so I mean, can't guess it.
Players that have played at least three games.
What about taking fourth. That out?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. How convenient.
But okay, among players that have played more than 20 minutes per game, so they're starters, he's third. Either way, he's really high. Mm-hmm. 90.2% of his field goals are unassisted.
It's disgusting, you know. I mean, it is. Like, you can't... It's
disgusting.
It is. He doesn't... And people want to wonder why his three-point shooting is never going to go up.
None of his three-point shots are good shots.
He can't get three a game where it's just catch and shoot threes.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. On their offense, they all just stand around looking at him. Mm-hmm. Their best games have been when players are moving and cutting and just
making shots.
Running around in general. And that creates better shots for them and easier shots for Luka and better passes too. But yeah.
Well, good players do that.
Well, yeah, true. Consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next. Trey Burton.
How many of these do we have?
So I would appreciate if you would stop complaining about this.
I'm starting to get a little bored of it. I can only imagine what our listeners
There's
are going
through.
There's
two left.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. Trey Burke is second in defended field goal percentage differential. So when he guards...
How am I ever supposed to know this? So it is the most obscure stat.
It's not. It's a basic defensive... Okay, when he
guards...
Oh,
that's a basic defensive... I thought steals per game were a basic defensive number.
Okay, when he's guarding a player, that player's field goal drops by a certain percentage. Okay, so... And he ranks... The idea is second.
Before I answer, what are the parameters?
Okay. Games played, three or more, and field goals guarded per game, three or more.
And what was his position?
Second.
It's so obscure and so ridiculous that I want to say it's true, but this could be a reverse psychology thing you have going on.
It could be a
right
reverse
now.
Uno card.
So I'm going to reverse the Uno.
Okay.
And I'm going to sell it because it is fake.
This isn't.
And not real.
It's true. It's true. I mean.
But.
No, I don't. What does that mean? I don't know that he's. I mean, you can't say that he's guarding sucky guys because it's how their field goal percentage drops when he's guarding them. So, I mean,
But are the guys that he's guarding good to begin with?
But even
so,
if
like,
they,
if you're a 40%. field goal shooter.
Yeah.
And he guards you and you drop down to 30. Like, how bad do you have to be before, to where if anybody provides any kind of resistance?
I mean, I guess that's true. But still, he's second in the league.
And you know what? You take that stat with a grain of salt because he shouldn't be playing.
Okay, next. Last one. Oh, you can stop whining. Okay. Oh, what does this mean?
If you don't know what it means, how am I supposed to even guess this?
For field goal attempts greater or equal to 10, Maxey is 10th. You know what? I think I removed the actual stat. So, hold on. I got it. I couldn't understand my own notes. So in defended field goal percentage differential. Okay, so
what? Say that again, please, slowly.
It's the one we just did.
Your mother's aunt, sister's brother's grandma.
Okay, defended field goal percentage differential. It's the one we just did for Trey Burke.
Okay.
Okay, so if you take it for players that defend at least 10 shots per game,
okay,
meaning they're actual, like, real defenders.
So Trey Burke's not a real defender?
Well, he doesn't guard a lot of shots.
He only guards 3 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but for guys that guard at least 10 per game, Maxey is 10th in field goal percentage differential. Real or fake?
I'm going to say
Do you even understand where we're at?
Is real, but I'm going to sell it.
Okay. How it's do you deal false.
With that? Hey, I was right then, because I sold it.
No, this isn't, just because you sell it doesn't mean that you're saying it's fake.
Even but when
it
I'm is right, fake. I'm wrong.
He is 62nd in the league. Field
I'm goal, surprised I didn't know that one.
A player's field goal percentage drops by 0.5% when he's guarding them.
Mm.
So that was real or fake, League Leaders Edition. Good job. I don't think you got any of those right.
I got one.
Oh, okay. I wasn't keeping count because I was like, he's not going to get any of these.
Yeah, well, I got one.
All right. So that's that. Great job. Okay. So let's finish up the show with some game predictions for the coming week. They're playing 3 games at Rockets, at Nuggets, and versus Jazz. Let's assume... the Rockets are tomorrow, so it's a back-to-back. Let's assume that Luka is back for all of these and that Kristaps is not back for all of them. So, Rockets, Nuggets, Jazz, what are your predictions, Mr. Martin?
1-2. They very easily could go 0-3.
I don't think they'll go 0-3. I think they've shown that they'll win at least one game against, you know, tough opponents. I would say...
I think you could make the case that their 2 wins were flukes.
You could.
And if you they very easily could be sitting here as a winless team. So, I mean, I'm going to say 1-2. They very easily could go 0-3.
I'm going to say 1-2. I say 1-2. The Rockets, obviously, with Harden, you know, no matter who guards him, he's dropping 40. And
the Mavs, historically, for some reason, I don't know if that's just their scheme, but they tend to do a pretty good job.
That's because they had the great Wesley Matthews.
Oh, yes, I forgot. The number one offensive-rated player and defensive-rated player of all time.
The only player he could guard was James Harden.
And the advanced stats told you he was a max-worthy player. And not only that, you increased it.
Yeah.
He didn't ask for it.
You gave it to him.
You're so good.
Yeah, we don't want anyone else to pick you up.
Yeah, just like Trey Burke.
Yeah. Against the Nuggets, it's in Denver, so there's that. Loss. And then, I mean, the Nuggets have been a little bit, it's been
They've
rocky.
They've started off very poorly, but...
Did you hear what I said?
It's been rocky.
It's been rocky for the Nuggets.
Oh, my God. the problem is, we...
okay, Jokic.
Who's going to have... I was going to say, Jokic? Who's going to have to guard Jokic? You know what? And if it's going to be Dwight Powell, Jokic is going to have a career night.
Just start Boban. Like, okay, remember before everything shut
Boban
down?
Boban had 31-17 on the Nuggets.
Against the Nuggets. Yeah. I say start Boban.
Oh,
and then
me too. But...
Versus the Jazz, you got Rudy Gobert. I mean...
Dwight Powell will be able to do a really good job against him.
So I'm going to say 1-2. I think they pull out a win somewhere in there, and we have some really great... Yeah.
The only thing I'll say about the road home thing, I don't think really matters without the crowds.
Well,
so the fact that these are on the road, I don't think that makes any difference as far as whether they're going to win or lose.
I just said the Nuggets because, you know, Denver, the high altitude and all that crap. Okay, so those are our predictions. Leave yours in the comment section if you're on YouTube. Make what?
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing about that Denver game. Since Luka isn't in prime shape, that's leading up to being a very bad game from him.
Yeah.
Because of the altitude issue.
I tell you what, bro. That altitude thing is for real. Like, we went up there. I've been up there two times, and it's miserable because it takes
We slept for like 9 hours every day.
You sleep the whole time because your blood just isn't flowing. And I'm like taking freaking aspirin constantly just so I can stay awake. It's hard. Like, it's really hard. And you do get out of breath really quickly. Like, we were going to go for a hike on this beautiful mountain. Went out there, had our hiking boots, and like breathing the fresh air.
We ended up napping in the parking lot.
We went like, I don't know what, a quarter of a mile, and we're like, you want to just turn around?
But while we were doing that, you remember those three people that were jogging up the mountain?
Oh, yeah.
They were like jogging up.
Were they
up.
Like cross-country people? Yes.
And like,
bunch
it was
of
embarrassing.
Freaks. Yeah. I know. Anyways, so the struggle is real in Denver. But those are our guesses. Leave yours in the comments. I think that's all we have for this potty.
What about a sponsor? Another one?
Who do you think?
I'd like to do a sponsor to Aquafina.
Aquafina.
Because for some reason the grocery store we go to stopped selling the water that we like.
So now we have Wait, thank you for what?
For being awesome.
For selling water. Okay, first of all, when did we start selling water? Like, it's just there. Who decided that they had the right to bottle it up and then sell it? Okay, well, great sponsor spot. You're welcome, Aquafina. All 20 of our listeners will go by. okay, but seriously, thank you guys for listening. All of our family members, we really appreciate it. Dad,
actually,
you're
our
great.
Family members don't even know because it'd be too embarrassing, so we don't tell them we have a pod.
Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Subscribe on YouTube,
and maybe this pod will stay up for the whole week, and Sydney won't midweek decide, you know what, I'm gonna remove that one.
I put it back up though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
you
I did. That, I though. Did. Yeah, I put it back up. Thanks, guys, for listening. We really appreciate it. Subscribe on YouTube. Leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. Leave a comment with all of your thoughts. Follow us on Twitter. I'm @_SydneyMyers or @DallasHoopsCast. The website is DallasHoopsCast.com.
Oh, my God.
The YouTube channel is DallasHoopsCast. And go to Rose's and buy some tamales.
And go to the store, get Aquafina.
Their tamales are off the chain.
We didn't do a new segment. We were going to do random segment of the week.
The Last Jedi.
And if anybody stays on after your whole humongous
they get to
hear this.
So, The Last Jedi, which came out like 10 years ago, and we're going to talk about it now.
Because it sucked.
What was... There was a big moment in there that you had a problem with.
There were multiple
with.
Big moments. Okay. The first one was when Leia decides to Superman
Mary
her
Poppins.
Way back into the ship.
But that wasn't
but
even...
The problem was they had to stay in front of the ship, well, but they were running out of fuel.
Let me set it up, because I'm good at backstories.
Yes, backstoried up.
So the big, like, you know, conflict there was that they had the bad guys...
Hold on. Mom, anytime you want to stop listening, you can go. Continue.
Okay. They had the bad guys chasing them in space, and somebody had missiles, okay? And so they were out of range for their missiles, and so
they had to stay out of range.
Yeah, they had to stay out of range because they showed, like, look, we're out of range, so their missiles can only go so far, and then they'll fall down because
and it's like
gravity's gonna pull
you're in
it down.
Space when you shoot a rocket,
it just
that rocket will continue to go forever. You cannot be out of range. Yeah. The only thing you can do is outspeed it. Okay,
well,
so nothing's
just
gonna pull it down.
Yeah, it showed the little animation of the rocket falling and down, and it's like, what's pulling it down?
You're
like,
in
what is
space.
It going down? There's no down in space.
So how come an asteroid just keeps going? It never stops.
Because,
and it's just like,
because it's still in range.
You are a movie that's set in space, and you miss the most basic thing about space. And then they also had to stay out of range.
But the problem was, the problem was that they were running out of fuel.
Which is
and
also...
And if they ran out of fuel, they would eventually slow down because of all the friction in space.
Just speed up, get maximum speed, cut the engines.
Exactly.
You'll continue to go. Thanks, Mom. Have a good night.
I feel you. I feel you. And I feel like for a movie that's set in space, they really should have known better. Yep.
Anyways, that was our random segment of the week that we were going to do.
Let us know what you think about Star Wars The Last Jedi. That it was The Last Jedi?
Yeah, because the Rise of Skywalker ended up being The Last Jedi, and so they had to make The Last Jedi before The Last Jedi.
What?
Exactly. Because Rey is a Jedi.
But she's not a Skywalker.
But she's a Jedi.
Oh, it's Ben. He's a Skywalker. No, he's
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, he is a Skywalker.
Shut up. The Skywalker has nothing to do with it. The Last Jedi, and then the Rise of Skywalker.
I'm ending
it. So they did The Last Jedi before The Rise of Skywalker. They called it The Last Jedi. When ultimately the next movie
was The Rise of Skywalker.
And so that wasn't The Last Jedi in the previous movie.
I see what you mean. I see
God, because I was running out of breath there.
Thank you guys for listening. We really
appreciate it. You don't have to do that. Just bye. Bye.
We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye. We'll be right back.